December, Christmas, the holidays. It's a time of year that brings out the best in people, mostly. But if your family is the sort to play board games, it might also bring out the competitive nature in you or your loved ones. Is that you? Well, we're enabling that competitive nature with the best of RN Drive. Earlier in the year, I spoke to Philip Orbanes, the world's leading Monopoly historian. He worked with Parker Brothers and he's written several books on the game. And in this interview, he revealed the secrets to Monopoly success. What is it about Monopoly that makes us love it so much?
Well, a lot of people think it's the iconic playing equipment, you know, the lovely metal tokens, the deeds, the houses and hotels, but it's really the people who play it. And the reason why Monopoly has been popular for so long is because every game is as fresh as the group of people who come around the table and enjoy the current Monopoly game.
Now, let's go back to the early days. Parker Brothers first popularized it in 1935. What was the game like in the early days? Has it changed much since then? And I wonder how it compares to newer board games. Why is it so lasting?
Yeah, I think it has changed very little. A couple of minor changes in the amount of tax you pay on the board. But otherwise, the composition of the game, Patricia, is the same as it was 80 years ago. And there has very little need, actually, to change it. And that's probably because Monopoly gestated for about 30 years before Parker Brothers became aware that it was a local success in the Philadelphia area of our country here in the U.S. And they decided to license it from the man who was selling it and to distribute it throughout the country. And it was a phenomenal success within the first 12 months of its introduction, and very quickly was licensed by a company named John Waddington's in London, who put all those lovely London street names on the board that then came to Australia.
Is it true that the game was originally intended to educate its players on the evils of, you know, capitalism and ownership, that it actually had a greater vision, which was to educate about the way that land was being acquired?
That's absolutely correct, and it's true with so many games. As long as it had its educational highbrow purpose, it was very little known. It was only when it began to evolve to the fun game we know today, where you're actually accumulating properties, building houses, and bankrupting your opponents, that it suddenly connected with everybody.
My guest on RN Drive is Philip Orbanes. He's a board game designer and author who is widely recognised as the world's leading Monopoly historian, which is quite a title. You must be proud of that.
Well, to me, it's always been a very warm and wonderful part of my life since I joined Parker Brothers, the makers of Monopoly, about 30-some years ago. During that part of my career, I came to this great game company and found out that they didn't have anybody on staff who really understood the game.
Really?
And lo and behold, they were good at marketing. They were great at making games with high quality. And, of course, Monopoly had been made by Parker Brothers at that point for 45 years. And it's just so happened that the current round of country and world Monopoly championships were about to take place, and they needed someone to be the chief judge. And they turned to me and said, "Would you like to give it a try?" And that was in 1979, and here it is all these years later, and I still do that, and I do it with a lot of pride.
What do you mean when you say you need to understand the game? What do you need to know to understand the game?
Well, I'll give you five quick tips that every Monopoly player should know in order to play and win more often. One would be buy every property you land on early in the game because you will probably need trading material to get a color group. Secondly, if you have a choice of color groups, try to get the oranges or the reds because those groups lie an ideal distance in front of jail and get landed on a lot and they're reasonably priced. Third, early in the game, if you go to jail, pay immediately and get out. And the reason for that is you want to be circulating around the board to buy properties. You can't do that in jail. Fourth, if you look at any title deed in Monopoly, you'll see that there's a really huge increase in rent between having two houses and three houses on a property. So your mission after you get a color group is to, as quickly as possible, build it to three houses. And then the last tip is, late in the game, if you go to jail, relax, stay there as long as you can, because you don't want to be on the board paying the big rents that loom in front of you.
Well, this is very fantastic and will help me, because I have spent my entire life playing Monopoly, being beaten by my sister, who ends ends up with like elaborate hotels, and I have like Old Kent Road and not much more. And I wonder what that means about my ability to be successful in a capitalist economy. Are some people just better at it as a strategy, or are some people just more greedy? Or am I just kind of really bad at making money?
I've been so fascinated by this subject, and having watched Monopoly players for so long now, that I actually wrote a book a few years ago called Monopoly Money and You, that shows you the connection between winning in real life finance and winning in the game of Monopoly. As quite frankly, Monopoly is such an excellent teacher of human relation skills. It's probably the best means that we have to perfect that art in, you know, without the consequences of making stupid decisions in real life. So if you play Monopoly well and you're a good negotiator, you'll probably do better in real life.
Really? Okay. God, that totally disturbs me, Philip Orbanes. I'm going to work on that. Thank you so much for joining us on RN Drive.
My pleasure.
That's Philip Orbanes, the world's leading Monopoly historian. He's also the author of Monopoly, the world's most famous game and how it got that way. And he was speaking to us via Skype. Coming up after the news, more of the best of RN Drive. You'll hear an interview I did earlier this year, a really touching chat I had with a student from the Netherlands, as well as a woman who's running a program that found him accommodation in a pretty unlikely place, in a retirement home. That's coming up on RN Drive. Keep listening right after the news.